TalkZone.com!
Usually, when you hear an attorney and an athlete working together, either the athlete is in trouble with the law or involved in a contentious contract negotiation. I'm attorney David Spada, here with former Chicago Bear Robin Earl, and that's not the case here. You're listening to Barely Legal. Let me brief you on what Barely Legal is about. For the next hour, Rob and I will talk sports, interview current and former professional athletes, and tackle the hot legal issues affecting athletes. And now, Barely Legal.
Here we go again, sports fans. Welcome back to another edition of the Barely Legal Show here on TalkZone.com. I'm Robin Earl, former tight end and fullback for your Chicago Bears, and I'm joined today, as always, my co-host and good friend, attorney David Spada. Now, what a glorious day we have in store today in Chicago. It only took, David, exactly 90 days of 2010 to break 70 degrees, whip out the shorts and the bikinis. Let's head to the beach,
man. It's going to be 80 tomorrow, I'm hearing, the first time since, like, September 15th.
Well, the good news is all the snow's finally melting away. But, wow, what a week of sports we've got coming up. The Final Four this weekend should be interesting with Butler and Michigan State. And
you got Duke, West Virginia.
Duke, West Virginia. I think that'll be the real game. But I think Butler, I'm smelling an upset with Butler, with Michigan State. But I think West Virginia is going to get the Dukies. But anyway, can you believe Major League Baseball home openers start Monday, April 5th? And we're putting a wrap on the NHL and NBA seasons, and both our teams, the Blackhawks and the Bulls, are struggling. The Bulls are on the outside looking in, and the Blackhawks are trying to get their mojo back before the playoffs start in a couple of weeks. They are losers of 8 of the last 10 games. Not a good sign. Anyway, we'll get some insight on the Bulls with our first guest, play-by-play man and voice of the Bulls on ESPN AM 1000, Chuck Swirsky, a former Seattle guy.
From, it says Bellevue, Washington, graduate of Interlake High School, 72. You're older than you.
Yeah, well, that's back in my era. So, anyway, as scheduled, hopefully today, we did have good old number 88 tied in for the Chicago Bears, Desmond Clark. Hopefully we can get a hold of him today and talk about his future coming up, obviously, with the Bears trading for the tight end from St. Louis. Probably kind of put a damper on a couple things, and everything is kind of predicated to of number 82, Greg Olsen, what he's going to be up to.
But, he better learn how to block if he wants to play in this system for Mike Martz.
That's right. And we'll talk Hoop Madness with former Northwestern star and basketball Big Ten guru Tim Doyle. And finally, a very special person who was a former teammate of mine from my college days at the University of Washington, Kevin Richardson, who is authoring a book, Out from the Shadows, My Dog Days Misdirection. And dog, of course, is D-A-W-G, David, for our slang for the Huskies. And days, D-A-Z-E, My Dog Days Misdirection. Kevin is a man with some real deep convictions, and I want our listeners to hear some real sound advice from a guy who has experienced it, lived it, but fell short of his life dream and the consequences that follow. And I know that's some deep stuff, David, but had about a two-hour conversation with him on Sunday, and we've been doing some emailing back and forth. He sent me some awesome pictures just today, and I don't know if you've seen them yet.
I haven't seen them. I've been on your Facebook page.
Back in my wild Afro days at the University of Washington. So, you know, there's some great pics there and some great stories that Kevin and I was able to reminisce. I haven't talked to the gentleman for, oh, wow, since 1977.
So, how did he find you?
You know what? Through one of my best friends in college, Russ Vincent. And they kind of reconnected, and Russ gave him my email and phone number, and all of a sudden we got something going. But when you listen to this guy, just listen in his voice. He's got some things he really wants to say. And of course, our sponsors wouldn't be possible without Stewart's Coffee. Of course, your law offices, David. And, you know, we've never done this, but why don't you give out your phone number here so people can get a hold of you?
They don't listen to this commercial. They could call 847-729-2667, 729-2667, or just listen to the commercial during the show. They could hear about what areas of law I practice in the workers' comp, real estate, traffic, personal injury.
Well, that's how we got together several years back. I heard some commercials with you on the Score radio, and I was like, I got to give this guy a call. If he's a Score guy, I'm all right with that. So anyway, that's how we connected, and you helped me out with what I had to do and getting my get my traffic court situated, and everything's good with that. And so anyway, we also have Bowling Brook Golf Club that we want to thank. And, of course, boy, I bet they're out there teeing it up today. What a gorgeous day. Townstone Financial and, of course, the WOW Mobile team that is just on fire. And we're having such a good time with the group down in Houston right now. I hope some of them are listening to the show live. If not, you can podcast, or you can call in at 888-463-6748. And, of course, our guy behind the glass, Dave Olson, that keeps us going for a full hour. He does a terrific job, and he just gave me the thumbs up because we do have our first guest on the phone, and a former Seattle guy like me, and a play-by-play voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky. How you doing, Chuck?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you, David. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Chuck?
Man, Chuck, I had a late meeting last night, and I got to listen to you and Mr. Winnington. I love you two guys together. You guys do a great job, and what a finish to that game last night. But unfortunately, we were on the short end of the stick.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Steve Nash was tremendous, and he really took the game over, and without Heinrich to guard him, made life especially very, very difficult. But, you know, at the end of the game, the bottom line is they made plays and the Bulls didn't.
Yeah, you know, and listening to Coach Del Negro's post-game speech, you know, he's still fighting, you know, and everything that came out of his mouth was politically correct. Hey, you don't know what's going to happen. A lot of funny things are going to happen. We're going to fight this to the end and keep our heads up and keep fighting. You know, what are we, a game and a half back? And what is the probability? Do the Bulls really want to make the playoffs, Chuck?
Well, yeah, I think they want to make the playoffs. The problem is twofold. Number one, they lost some games they shouldn't have lost. And I guess every team can say that in professional sports when you look back. But the injury to Noah and Deng and Rose at once, you know, they lost Noah for 10 games and they lost all 10 games. Mm-hmm. Deng has missed 11 straight games. Rose missed 4 in a row. And you take arguably your top 3 players on the team, and it puts everyone, I'm talking coaching staff, players, everyone connected with the team. And Robin, you know this, having played at the highest level of professional football, when you're asking players to do things that they're maybe physically not capable of doing, it's not a criticism on the players that are on the floor. It's just that, you know, there's a reason why you have role players. There's a reason why you have starting players. And there's a reason why some players are game changers. And it just, you know, it was a perfect storm for a losing streak. And that's exactly what happened to the Bulls.
I'll tell you who's impressed me this year is this Taj Gibson. I remember when the Bulls drafted him, you were talking this guy up, saying he's this most basically comparable guy to Josh Smith of the Hawks. You kept saying, watch out for this kid. He's going to be a stud. And you were absolutely right. This guy is putting up numbers for a rookie, which are incredible.
Yeah, you know what, David? I liked him. I saw him work out. In fact, he came to the Berto Center, David, twice. First time was a little bit banged up, and I really didn't get a chance to see him. But I saw him the second time, and he really, really impressed me. He reminds me a lot of Joe Smith of the Hawks, as you mentioned, and the former Bull. And I just like the way he conducts himself. He's very, very businesslike. He doesn't say a lot, David. He's very quiet, very reserved. You know, he's much more mature than a lot of kids coming into the NBA because he's 24 years old. But at the same time, I mean, he just gets after it, and his work ethic is tremendous. And I expect him to be around the league for a long, long time.
Boy, I tell you what, nothing would be better, Chuck, than bring back some of the glory days. You know, I mean, we were spoiled back in the 90s, weren't we? I mean, as being here, a Chicago fan, watching Michael Jordan, Pippen, and Horace Grant do their thing. And, I mean, man, I tell you what, nothing would be better to get that back to the United Center. You think it's going to happen soon? I hope.
Well, you know, it depends on the free agent market and whatnot, because I think at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. You know, the opportunity is there for the Bulls to make a major splash come July 1st. And they did their due diligence. They put themselves in a position where now they can go out and have the cash to go and get a major impact player. And I know it's going to be very, very competitive, but at least they put themselves in the parade instead of on the outside looking in.
Right.
Chuck, who do they have the best chance of landing?
Well, I mean, once you get past LeBron and Wade, I think LeBron will probably stay in Cleveland. I think Wade's going to stay in Miami. And then you've got Bosch out there. You got Stoudemire if he opts out. You got Joe Johnson. You got David Lee. I mean, there are good players. And the whole key is, number one, you don't want to overpay a player just because he thinks he's a max player. That doesn't necessarily mean you should pay him max money. All these players probably feel they're max players.
Mm-hmm.
But you want a player that's going to be able to come in and be a significant player to this club, where he will take you from, let's say the injuries hadn't occurred, and let's say the Bulls would be in the playoffs right now, because in my opinion, they are a playoff team and they're healthy. But let's say they had finished the year with 45 wins. You want to have that player come in, and instead of winning 45 games, you want that player to help you win maybe 52 to 54 and go deeper in the playoffs. And then you start adding on a little by little, and you tweak the roster here and there. So that, I think that's what they're looking for. It's like when Robert Earl came out of Washington and, he was drafted by the Bears in 77. You know, you add a little bit here, a little bit there, and before you know it, you know, Robin Earl surrounded by some pretty good players.
There you go. Hey, how about that? Well, the Bulls got 8 games left. And
see, Robin, Robin, I was a big fan of yours. You have to remember, I grew up in Bellevue.
That's right.
I saw you play at the University of Washington.
Oh, thank you.
Did you ever dream that Warren Moon would become the player he did after seeing him play at Washington?
I'll tell you what. You're going to think I'm nuts when I say this. I was shocked he was never drafted by the NFL. I liked him. I mean, you had Spider Gibbs. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Robin? Yeah, Spider.
And I mean, Warren Moon had it going. The linebacker, 55, was it Michael Jackson?
Correct.
And I mean, the Rose Bowl game against Washington will go down, in my opinion, one of the greatest Rose Bowl games ever. And it was a great game. The University of Washington, because I grew up there, and I mean, I live purple and gold.
Mm-hmm.
But the Huskies, under Jim Owens, at the end of his run, I mean, it began to unravel big time. And Don James came in from Kent State and changed the entire culture of that program. And without people like Robin Earl and without other players, as you mentioned, Warren Moon and other guys, that program would have been flat. And so those were some good memories of Husky football. I had to get that in, Robin. Sorry.
Hey, not a problem, Chuck. Hey, I was enjoying listening to you. You know what we have on the show at the end? We've got Kevin Richardson that'll be appearing. He was a defensive tackle with the Huskies, and when I think of Kevin, I think of, remember Dave Pear, you know, the defensive tackle, and
Blair Bush.
Yeah.
Now, is Kevin's brother Clint Richardson, who played in the NBA?
That I couldn't tell you. That I don't know. Another name that pops out, Ray Penny. How about Ray Penny, a center at Washington, he was a year ahead of me, gets drafted in the second round of the Steelers and plays, you know, like a normal lineman, 16 years or whatever in the NFL. It's amazing how long those linemen can last.
Oh, it's amazing. You know what? When I was in Seattle, Bruce Jarvis was a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce was the center on the University of Washington.
Right.
And he was a part of the electric company with O.J. Simpson.
Right.
And, I mean, he has some great stories about that era when Simpson ran for 2,000 yards and how that group, Robin, was so close, the offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They were so tight. And you hear stories about how tight the offensive linemen are. And, I mean, they were such a bond, and they were committed to getting him his 2,000 yards. And O.J. took care of him after that season. I mean, we're talking now, I would think early 70s, Robin?
The O.J. was 70, if I'm not mistaken, 72, perhaps?
73, 72,
73,
around
yes,
that.
Around there, right. I remember I was in college, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chuck, you're familiar.
Anyway, David, this is the last thing you expected to go down.
I'm enjoying this.
Back to the Bulls.
Let's get back to the Bulls. I mean, a lot of talk about this kid from Toronto. I mean, do you
Chuck's very familiar with him, being a Toronto broadcaster for years.
Yeah. Do you think he's the guy that the Bulls need, or you know, God, this,
absolutely.
This Derrick Rose.
I would love to see him here.
Yeah, Derrick Rose is such a terrific player. You never really realize, what's Derrick, 6'2", 6'3"? Is that kind of that area? And to elevate the way this kid does, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he is going to be so good, it's scary. And I don't think this, as good as he is now, guys, let me tell you what, he can get better. And he has improved his jump shot. And I think that another summer of just working out and refining what he's doing at this point in time, and hopefully the Bulls will get him a player of his caliber, where he can, you know, take some pressure off him.
Right.
And he can really work together in tandem. Mm-hmm. But I think he has so much talent. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It takes two to win. It takes a couple of role players, you know, like the old Jordan Pippen days. And, of course, Grant was a grunter. And
you had Rodman.
Course, and Rodman was the dirty guy that did all the dirty work on the floor. Because everybody, I call those guys, Chuck, I call them ruggers. You know, it's kind of like the wide receiver for the New England Patriots. Well, he only led the league in receptions.
Welker?
But Wes Walker. They just do the dirty work, and they do it in a fashion that's professional. They just go out there and they do their job. They don't get all the hype and the glory, but you got to have role players like that. And you know, if like you said, we get Derrick Rose teamed up with a Bosch or
I think
or
Rudy Gay-Bosch are the two guys the Bulls should get.
Yeah, and man, look out. Then we're gonna have some fun.
There's no doubt about that. Here's the thing about role players. Every player, and I don't blame them, but every player wants minutes. Every player wants to hear his name announced with the lights out and the introduction. And it's an ego thing. It's a pride thing. They've been pampered. They've been spoiled. They've been told how great they are since they were a kid. And, Robin, you probably went through some of this being a tremendous athlete and playing in, at that time, maybe the Pac-8, Pac-10 conference, and then, of course, going on to the NFL. But then there comes a point where the talent level, where reality sets in. And if a player can accept and check his ego at the door and say, okay, you know what? I'm not a 35-minute-a-night player. I'm not going to be a starter in this league on a 82-game basis. Maybe here and there, sprinkled in a few games if someone gets hurt or a different look. But if a role player can accept his job and do what he does for that 12, 16 minutes a night, he can not only secure himself on a roster, but also in a sense, spread his image and the type of character he has to other clubs. So if a team is looking for that player, they'll pick him up. Mm-hmm. He'll be low maintenance. He'll earn a pretty good check, not a great, great check, but a very good check, and be gainfully employed for a long time. I don't think anything's wrong with that.
Chuck, I want to ask you about a college team that's dear and near to you, DePaul. You covered them during their heyday. What do you think is going on at DePaul? You think you're going to land a big-name coach?
Well, I think they're trying to. My concern at this point in time is, where are they looking? Are they looking at the coach from Butler, for example? Because I know that they've tried to go big time. They tried for Ben Howland. They tried for Jamie Dixon. They've tried for some coaches that probably, realistically, they knew they wouldn't get. They at least had to reach out to see, hey, you know what, if we knock on five doors and we think all five are closed, but you never know. Maybe there's an opening in one of them and they're willing to listen. And you can't fault them for that. You really can't. However, having said that, here's the problem with DePaul from the days when I was there. Number one, when I broadcast their games for 14 years, this was really in the pre-Jordan era. It was a little post-Jordan, but I was there with Aguirre, Cummings, Comegys were outstanding players. Strickland was great. Strickland, mm-hmm. of course, was in the late 80s. Jordan arrives in the mid-80s in 84. DePaul owned this town. They were selling out the Rosemont Horizon. Well, the Bulls took over with Jordan. And also, the league DePaul was in, the Great Midwest, and then, of course, you know, they were trying to find their comfort zone in Conference USA. But now, they're in the heart of the Big Ten. They're trying to recruit against the Big East. They're in the Big East. It's very, very tough. Can it be done? Yes. But they're going to have to catch a lot of breaks.
Yeah,
I'll tell you a guy I'm pumping is Scott Drew at Baylor. Scott Drew, I think, is making $800,000. He's got a Midwest connection, and I think he could turn that program around. I heard the story how he ended up at Baylor. He was coaching at Valpo. He took over from his dad. Tim Floyd calls him up and says, Scott, you're going to take the Baylor job. There's no pressure on you because they're basically in shambles after those players getting killed. Mm-hmm. And then you are going to have 2 years, no pressure, and then you could turn the program around. Your dad's going to come out of retirement, and your brother Bryce is going to back him up and watch what happens. And Floyd put that deal together for him, and look what he did for Baylor. And DePaul's in worse shape than Baylor, I think.
And I agree. I mean, that program was a mess, a major mess, Baylor. And that was the what happened in Baylor. I wish on no program whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I spent some time with Scott Drew in the off season. I went to see him in September, and I've known the Drew family for a long time, and they're wonderful, wonderful people. I hope. I mean, if they could get Scott Drew, I would take him in a heartbeat. I think there are a lot of schools that are going to be knocking on his door. He's got a pretty good class coming in, and I don't know if he wants to leave at this point in time. But if they have another good year, trust me, he'll be able to name where he wants to go. I don't know if DePaul is on his A-list, but he's got a listen, I'm sure, if they call him. And I'm sure they've called him. If they haven't, they should.
You know, whoever coach they decide on, Chuck, in this city of Chicago, God, just keep some of the – I mean, the players that have left, if you just got some of those Chicago high school athletes that left – our area and have played on some of these teams that made it to the Elite Eight and to the Final Four. I mean, they're gonna cap, you know, just get the hearts again of the DePaul. And I hear they're building a new arena at DePaul.
Yeah.
Or did that get finalized?
No, I don't know if they're building a new arena, but because this is another area. I mean, Robin, you know, I mean, you were spoiled. You went to Heck Edmondson, and you should see Heck Edmondson now compared to when you played. I mean,
I can imagine. Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, they've done a great job. It's very intimate. I mean, the fans are right on top of you. It's great.
And right on campus. Yeah, right on campus.
It's right on campus, right next to Husky Stadium.
That's right.
But the thing is that, you know, with the Allstate Arena, I mean, you know, asking a college kid, you know, in this day and age especially, you know, where some of them have cars, some of them don't. I know they've got, you know, transportation to and from the arena for students to go see the games. But, I mean, to ask somebody, hey, we want you to go. I mean, if they were number one in the country, they'd find a way to get there, trust me. But, you know, not winning the game last year in the conference and barely getting by this year, there's got to be an incentive. And I like Jeannie Fonseca. I think she is a wonderful woman, first and foremost, a tremendous person and a great administrator. And that's why I'm hoping that they can turn this corner. Because if anyone bleeds DePaul, it's her. And I know she's doing everything she possibly can to put this program back on the map, and I hope they get a great coach.
Hey, Chuck, as usual, buddy, but I tell you what, you're always good to talk with, and what a pleasure it has
to
have.
He deserves his own sports show.
Yeah, you do, Chuck, absolutely. But you're doing a great job play-by-play with the Bulls and with AM1000 ESPN. Keep up the great work. Say hi to Bill for me. I'll see him on the golf course here in a few days probably, or a couple of, as soon as you guys get done with your season. But he's, I like you guys, and keep up the good work, and let's hope that the Bulls can get the right free agent in place for next year and get a, you know, at least a 50-win season. At least.
Absolutely. Well, call me anytime. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks, Chuck. That's Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Bulls, and always good to have Chuck online here. And of course, let's just jump right from pro basketball right to NCAA's the Final Four. We've got the Big Ten guru, the Big Ten basketball guru, Tim Doyle. How you doing, Tim?
What's up, guys? Yeah, another Big Ten team. Seems like another year Tom Izzo gets it done.
Isn't that unbelievable from that little small school up there? Let's see, Northern Michigan University up at the UP, right? I believe that's where Izzo went to school.
That's where he went to school,
yeah.
Him and Mariucci were very
Mariucci nice. And my old coach, unfortunately, passed away, but Raleigh Dotch. My football coach from the Birmingham Stallions of the USFL went to Northern Michigan. Man, there's a legacy, a lot of great coaches coming out of there. Anyway, Tim, how you doing, man? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, living the life right now. Happy that another Big Ten team crept into the Final Four. Gets me plenty of work on the Big Ten Network. I'll be on tonight. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited. And who knows, with their draw, you know, we're playing a five-seed in Butler. You know, it's really good. It might be a one-game tournament if they're able to get by Butler. It's just crazy to think the Michigan State team might win it all. It just shows you that this year college basketball wasn't really at its height of talent. And you know, it's just showing with guys leaving early how watered down, you know, college basketball has become.
But if you have a veteran-laden team, you can knock off some of these younger teams with more talent because, again, it's a team concept basketball. You saw it at Northwestern, and you saw it when you were at St. John's.
I absolutely. More now than ever. Just because you look at the teams that are alive, they all have experience. Butler's been there before. Michigan State's been there before. West Virginia's got a lot of seniors and juniors. Duke, obviously, is a very senior, junior-laden team. And, yeah, it has been experienced now because, frankly, the talent, the best players are freshmen, and they're still 18 years old, and that caught up to Kentucky because if talent wins games, Kentucky would have won this whole tournament. So if you play together, you play basketball the right way, you make a few shots, anyone can beat anyone on any given night. If you watch the regular season, that was kind of pretty evident. So when all the experts were picking all ones and two seeds before the tournament started, that was crazy because you didn't know what was going to happen, and the toughest bracket was Michigan State's bracket. They had Ohio State, Kansas, Georgetown. Meanwhile, a five seed comes out of it. So it was really a tough year to figure out. I only had one team still alive in the Final Four, that being West Virginia. And right now they look like the favorite of the last four teams standing.
Who was your pick to win it all when you started?
You know, I had Ohio State. And I just thought that bracket might shake out for them. And it did. You know, they would have had to play Tennessee and then Michigan State to get to the Final Four. And then I think I would have been sitting chilly right now. But you know, Evan Turner is a great player, the best college player in the country, and I think he tried to do a little bit too much in that game. And he's the type of competitor that when they fall behind, he kind of puts everyone else on eggshells because now he wants the ball every single time down the floor. And, you know, it's just one of those games where Tennessee was just a little long and a little too athletic and a little too deep for Ohio State. It's just unfortunate that his career has to end like that because I think if they would have gotten to the Final Four, they would have won it because they were such a well-rounded team.
I got a bone to pick with you. Someone goes on the message board and says, we haven't heard Tim Doyle in a while. I talked to you that day. I said, we'll get Tim on. Tim's going to be on our show soon. Then all of a sudden, you turn up on the score the next day with Moline Hanley, and then you're the scores expert for the NCAA tournament here. What's going on here?
I was able to, you know, the score has been able to take over the city again, and you know, they gave me my start, so my loyalty lies with them. And, you know, I was on Mike Norris' show and when I was still in college, and he was kind of my breakthrough into this entertainment industry, an industry I never thought of getting into. I was planning on going back to New York and working on the stock market, which probably would have been a disaster. Things shook out pretty well, and my loyalty definitely lies with 670 AM.
You know, North called me about 10 days ago and says, "Hey, Robert, we got to get you on the Monsters and Money in the morning." But says that my producer will call you on Monday. Well, that was about 10 days ago. We'll see if that ever happens.
I got on that show, and that is an early wake up call.
Yes,
Robert.
It is.
That means either you stay out all night or you got to bed really early because you got to be up real early.
Whoa! I thought you settled down here.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I still fall off the deep end once in a while. I'm just saying, you know, 2:33, might as well just stay up till 4 because you're probably going to go on at 5:30 or 6.
Last time I saw you was at McDonald's here. I was with Ronald McDonald and you. I was with two clowns.
Yeah, Ronald McDonald, it's amazing. There's an anti-Ronald McDonald group that say that Ronald forces kids to eat McDonald's. That example is a symbol for kids. I don't think kids drive in their own car to McDonald's. So, yeah, people are crazy these days. Ronald McDonald talks nothing about food, doesn't promote any of that stuff. Meanwhile, he's getting bad-mouthed across the country.
I mean, boy.
There's always going to be a negative and positive, no matter who you are.
Who's a bigger clown, Ronald McDonald or Mike North?
No comment on that.
Oh, David.
Come on.
You're no longer
on the Webby payroll.
Hey, Tim, I filled out five brackets, of course, and one of my brackets actually had Duke and West Virginia together going into the final, and I got West Virginia winning it all. I really believe that Duke-West Virginia game will be the game, actually, don't you think? I mean,
obviously with the seeds, it might shake out that way. I like Butler against Michigan State.
I do, too.
I think Butler's going to win that game, and then I believe that West Virginia-Duke game, like you said, Rob, is going to be a war. And you could take a lot out of you, and you go, you know, short turnaround, and you got to face a team like Butler, who's so well prepared, so well disciplined, and you know, it's only going to be one day really of preparation because you don't want to plan too far ahead during your scouting report leading up to that week. And Butler does a lot of little things. Their intricacies are very tough to pick up on, especially in such a short turnaround. I think Michigan State or Butler is going to have a huge advantage with either team because they run so many set plays that there's just no way in scouting report you're going to be able to get all that stuff. But as far as you said, yeah, obviously the favorite's going to be Duke and West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Butler, I would probably want to play Duke. If I'm Michigan State, I'd probably want to play West Virginia. So this all comes down to matchups. Basketball is a matchup game.
Absolutely.
And who plays who is the key to – it's not really personnel. It's all matchups and who plays who.
I can't pick Butler. The problem is Loyola, my alma mater, almost beat them. And I just cannot get behind this Butler. I think that Michigan State has got a superior coach and just going to blow him out.
Yeah, I was at that game, too. They win 48-47 Butler against Loyola Chicago. I was at the Northwestern game as well. And, you know, both those games were ugly, but they got it done. And then, I mean, they have the best wins in the tournament. They beat Syracuse and Kansas State, two teams on paper you would just think would dominate them on the inside and just be too athletic. And meanwhile, you know, Butler was right with those two teams as far as rebounding, believed it out rebounded Kansas State. So, you know, they're a tough team to figure out, but you know what I appreciate? If they play the right way. Guy's open, he gets the ball. Guy's open, he makes the shot.
Right.
The guy's ahead of the field, they throw the ball ahead. And I think it's a lost art. And I think the last four teams that are standing all play basketball kind of in that team fashion, and it's proven to show good results.
Yeah. You know, DePaul had the Kansas State coach in the mix for a possible hire. He's a pretty intense dude, that Kansas State coach.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fight him. I think he bounces at a club downtown, too. He looks like one of those guys that takes the IDs before you walk into
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think they have a snowball chance of getting him, just as far as I know they're going to be able to throw a little bit more money at him, but he has another good year, guys. I mean, he could probably get a better job than DePaul, to be honest.
I'm promoting Scott Drew from Baylor.
I think that's another unrealistic goal. I mean, the guy's got McDonald's All-Americans going to Baylor, and obviously he's built up a little bit of a program there, and now he just wants to he gets to Baylor, he builds it all the way up from scratch, and now he's like, I'm done. I'm going to go to DePaul. I mean, that's just ludicrous. I mean, let's just look at it from a realistic standpoint, you know? And he's got great facilities down there. He's got a ton of money. He's got a great program to promote. He's going to just give it all away for, what, $700,000 more a year? I don't see that happening. I think if DePaul got realistic, they would start looking at maybe a step-down program or like a mid-major. And I think the guy they should hire, and maybe they're not even good enough to get him, is the coach of Dayton, who just got his team to the NIT Final Four. I don't know if you watched them against Illinois. They just, frankly, just kicked their butt up and down the floor. And he's a very good coach. He's a Tom Izzo assistant. He just makes sense. Like, Jamie Dixon does not make sense. Steve Lavin at St. John's, that should make sense because New York loves that, you know, celebrity status. And to bring in a big name like that, they just love that. I think Lavin actually wanted the DePaul job more than he wanted the St. John's job. But, you know, DePaul's been dragging its feet with who they wanted to hire and what kind of personnel they wanted. So St. John's has an offer. And frankly, I think St. John's a little bit more appealing because they have Madison Square Garden. They have a little bit more basketball history than DePaul, a little bit more success of late. But, you know, DePaul has to just start getting a little realistic. Right now they're shooting for the stars, and, you know, with a BB gun, it's, like, impossible.
Gotcha.
What do you think about Tom Izzo? They're talking about him switching schools.
No way.
I mean, for what?
Yeah, you know, for what, yeah.
Tubby Smith's not going to leave Minnesota. I talked to some of the personnel up there. The problem is, yeah, everyone's like, oh, you just leave and leave and leave. All right, so now you're in Minnesota, and all of a sudden you're in Oregon. You don't know four AAU coaches. You don't know three high school coaches. You know what that is, like to start from scratch? And when you've already made that kind of money, it's not like you just jump ship and then you keep all those networks. When you go to a school, you got to recruit that area. You got to build relationships. I mean, what Steve Lavin's going through right now in New York, I mean, his head must be spinning. He's got to find assistant coaches. He's got to start, you know, talking to his team. He's got workouts coming out. He's got recruits for next year. He's got nine seniors graduating. I mean, it's just crazy to think that just jump job. And you got to be a little bit more realistic with this whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, I tell you what, man, you are a book of information. When it comes to basketball, that's why they call you the Big Ten guru, man.
He knows baseball. He knows football.
Take care of Talk Zone there. It was a short but fun run.
What was your favorite memory of it?
Running down to the bathroom in between breaks. You know, we have about three commercials, so I didn't have that much time to get down there and get back.
I heard you were well prepared. You used to come in an hour early for the show, get ready, so you were at the top of your game. Was that true?
Is an hour early like good preparation? No, the hardest part about doing a show every day is watching the games at night. You know, and that's the hardest part because Tuesday night when the Indians are playing the White Sox, you know, I'd rather be out on the town somewhere, but instead I'm home watching the fourth inning when it's 7-2. That's the hardest part. Doing a show every day is not an easy gig.
No, that's not, I tell you what.
And you were doing 5 hours at a time.
I was doing four. So,
four?
Yeah. And with no callers and no commercials.
Woo! Man.
It was a lot of talking. So it definitely helped out my rap at the bar, though. It made it a lot easier to any kind of girls, you know what I mean?
How was your sound guy?
top of the line there.
Yeah, Dave does a great job. Hey, thanks, Tim. We appreciate your time and your expertise as always. You do a great job.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
And keep up the great work, man. Appreciate
thanks, Tim.
Thank you. All right, buddy. That was Tim Doyle, the Big Ten basketball guru, as I call him. He really knows his stuff. And anyway, our callers can call in at 888-463-6748. 888-463-6748 if you want to chat. When we get back from the break, we're going to have a former Husky teammate of mine, Kevin Richardson, and talk about his new book coming out and talk a little bit of life. And we'll be back in a couple minutes. This is the Barely Legal Show.
If you're injured at work, don't try to be a hero and work in pain. Immediately tell your boss how you were injured and seek medical treatment. Then call my guy, attorney David Spada, to make sure that your rights are protected. David will fight for the payment of your medical bills, lost wages, and settlement. Insurance companies and employers have individuals representing their interests. Why not you? You must have an experienced attorney on your side. All fees are contingent upon your recovery. Call David Spada at 847-729-COMP. That's 847-729-2667.
The Stewart's family has a proud history of providing Chicago with the finest coffees and teas since 1913. William A. Stewart created Stewart's Private Blend and founded the company on the idea of quality and his insistence on consistency of taste. Today, three generations and a long list of special blends later, the Stewart's family still roasts and blends the finest coffees available. They remain Chicago's hometown favorite, and their popularity has crossed the country. Try it for yourself. Check out the list of upcoming events where you can sample their coffee and get some great discounts and coupons at Stewart's.com.
Let the revolution begin. Hi, Robin Earl here. As part of the Barely Legal family, you have heard me speak many times about WOW Mobile and how it is changing people's lives. Like any great championship team, Liberty International is dedicated to fulfill the promises and dreams we set out to achieve. Well, let me tell you something. The beta testing is over and done, folks. As of December 4, 2009, Liberty has now successfully launched a feat that no other cell phone company in the world has ever done. What makes WOW Mobile different? Well, listen and pay attention. By joining Liberty's WOW phone service, you now have access to the Unlimited Everything plan. Unlimited calling anywhere in the U.S. and Puerto Rico. Unlimited internet. Unlimited text. Unlimited emails. Unlimited data transfer. You name it, it's unlimited. The cost per month, only $89.95, and that's with all taxes included. Take a detailed look at your cell phone bill. You are paying an additional 20 to 25% in taxes. Now consider this. Liberty's G1 and G2 MyTouch phones can tether to your laptop. Wow, a mobile phone that is a Wi-Fi hotspot. How much are you paying for your air cards? 50, 60, 70 extra dollars a month? With WOW Mobile, you can trash that air card. And of course, you can keep your current cell phone number, and there are no credit checks or contracts to sign. But I haven't mentioned the best part yet. When you sign on to Liberty's WOW Mobile Cellular and tell three friends about this wonderful service and they sign on, your monthly cost of $89.95 is now absolutely free. Can you imagine no more cell phone bill? How much will you save in a year? And if you're like me and build a Liberty team through your referrals, a very substantial check arrives in the mailbox each and every week like clockwork. WOW Mobile now provides SIM cards for all GSM unlocked phones. You have three calling plans to choose from, as little as $59.95 a month. All you have to do is take your current iPhone, BlackBerry, or smartphone, insert a WOW SIM card, and now you're on the WOW Mobile network. Want to know more? Call me, Robin Earl. My WOW number is 847-881-1970. Again, that's 847-881-1970. Or visit my website, wowrobinearl.com. Look forward to hearing from you.